You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to discuss Halach L'Maisa. We're actually going to get to Halach L'Maisa tonight. If you're walking in a shul, you're walking in a Beis Medrash, there's a guy who left his Gemara there, his Siddur there, his Talis there. Could you use all of those items, given that we assume that, hey, he's going to get, you know, he doesn't have to do anything. You know, it's sort of like passive income. The best kind of income is passive income. You do absolutely nothing. You sleep, you know, till noon, and you get income on your properties. You get income on your investment. That's the best thing. So if I'm, you know, at work, and I left my Gemara in the Beis Medrash for my night Seder Chavrusa, and some yeshiva guy in the middle of the day takes my sefer and uses it, that's called passive income. What could be better? I'm getting zechus, I'm getting schar by him using my chafatzim. So,
Why must you, without any money,
but I should be happy about it. I'm going to feel good that I'm getting not money payments, but I'm getting brownie points in Shemayim. So presumably, I should be happy that somebody else is using my items, right? That's the topic we're going to talk about. Before we do that, I want to go through one mini sugya. Mini sugya means it's going to take 4 or 5 minutes and build one idea that has to do not with borrowing something, but with actually taking stuff. This is an idea that we began last week, but we're going to do it completely in its full form this week. And that is, the question that we'll deal with is, can, if I know that you don't mind if I use your pen, if I know that you don't mind if I take some cherries or some grapes from your grocery store as I'm passing by, and the grapes are standing there in the grocery bin in the street, can I take them? So without getting into the Gemara background that we saw last week, source number one, Tosfos says that it's aser. Even if I know that you would, if and when you will find out that I took, that I used your pen or took your grape, you would be mochel, says Tosfos, that's very nice if and when the owner finds out and lets you do it. But if you're doing it in anticipation that he would, if he knew he would let me, that's just, says Tosfos, that's like Yeyush Shalomi Das, Shalohava Yeyush. If somebody finds something, if I find something in the street, knowing that the owner, when he finds out that it's going to be, that he lost it, he would let me keep it, halacha is, you're not allowed to keep it. That's how he passes. And therefore, Tosfos says, if somebody goes to the bathroom and I want to use your pen while you're in the bathroom, I know you would let me use your pen. I'm not allowed to use the pen because right now, I don't have your permission. Even though I know you'll give me permission later. Right now, I don't have it. That's Tosfos' opinion. Then we have the shach. We saw the shach quickly last week. Now we'll talk about it a little bit more carefully. The shach says, after citing this first opinion of Tosfos above Metziach of Beis, that it's aser to take something, even though you know the owner would allow you. The shach says in the second paragraph, Ilav demistafin, if I wasn't scared of arguing on Tosfos, hayisi omer shemutter, I would have thought that it's mutter to take a grape or to use your pen.
Why?
Because Yishalomi Das, when you find an item in the street that you know when he finds, right, a guy, you find a, what's something that's not so expensive that you find, you know somebody wouldn't mind if you kept it. That's a good example. A pen that has some kind of simen on it, right? A pen that has like a broken off, you know those Bic pens, those automatic pencils, you know, they're like 40 cents, they're for an automatic pencil. It's a yellow automatic pencil with the eraser chewed on. Okay, so it's still, whatever, okay. I know he would be, if you knew that you lost it, you would be muffled, but you didn't find out that you lost it. Classes of this happens to me all the time. I teach and my students walk out. A student leaves a pen. And I don't know who is sitting where, I don't know, and they're not going to realize that they lost that pen until they get to, you know, they might not have class. I finished teaching at 12, they might not have their next class till 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So, are there any more sheets? Okay. So, he doesn't know that he lost his pen yet. Am I allowed to take that pen? I know when he realizes he lost it, he would be mochel, he'd be miyai, he'd be mafkir. No, sorry, he doesn't. Says the shach, why is that I'm not allowed to keep it? Because right now, when I find this pen or pencil and I want to take it, does he really want to give it to me? No, he wouldn't just stam give me the pen. He wouldn't just stam let me keep the pen. It's only because when he finds out, what happens when he finds out, he realizes that he's not getting it back. He realizes that it's gone. He realizes that it's lost. He realizes somebody else must have it by now. So in despair, realizing that, chances are so low that he's ever going to get it back, what's his attitude? Okay, so I forget about it, I'm a yaish. So says the Shach, that's why originally when I took it, he didn't yet have that despair because he didn't know it was gone. He didn't want to lose it. And later on, he had no choice but to lose it. As opposed to, says the Shach, Masha Enkin Hacha, look at the line right above source number 3. Masha Enkin Hacha, underline. Kevan Shiodua Shiisratze. When you go to the bathroom and I want to use your pen, I know that right now you would allow me to use your pen. Not that later when you find out that I used your pen you wouldn't mind. I know that right now you allowed me to use your pen. Kevan Shiodua Shiisratze, therefore Behetera Asaliyade. My using the pen, your pen, when you're in the bathroom, that's beheter.
Because you're going to get it back.
It's a different argument also.
Nothing, there's no getting back. We're talking about the use of the ink, and I know that you would allow me to use the ink. When do I know? Right now. Not like a pen that's lost where the owner relinquishes his ownership only when he realizes he's not getting it back.
Right.
Since he's not getting it back, he gives up on it. This ink, right now, you'd allow me to use. Not because when you find out you have no choice but to be make. No, I know you well enough that you would let me use your pen right now.
That's not.
You would let me eat this grape right now. What?
That's not the same as letting me keep the pen.
I'm talking about the ink. Yeah. Now, the Shaz Rishuvah's Oneg Yontiv explains this Svara that we're explaining right now. And he says something interesting. I want to ask you a question. In order to make a kinyan, let me back up. In order to use something that belongs to somebody else, do you need his da'as? Before you answer that question, let me ask you something else. In order to be kona something from, if I want to be kona something that you that is owned by you,
you need the permission.
Do I need da'as?
Yes, permission.
So we'll see. Says the Oneg Yontiv, there's a difference between having a kinyan and using something. What's the problem with using something that doesn't belong to you?
Well, it could be a theft.
Stealing.
It could be a theft.
Exactly, it's theft. It's stealing. What do you need to permit stealing?
Permission.
You don't need das. Says Oneg Yontiv, to permit stealing, all you need is that he's not makpid. That you not use it. If someone's makpid that you don't use it, you can't use it. If he's not makpid that you don't use it, then you can use it. If my mother allows me to take chocolate chip cookies from the cupboard, then when I take chocolate chip cookies from the cupboard, I'm not stealing. Why am I not stealing? I'm eating them, I'm never returning them. Because my mother allows me to take them. When your kids eat in your house, that's exactly what's going through your mind. You're not makpid for your children to eat your food. That's why it's not stealing. If somebody else would come into your house and stick their hands into your cookie jar, that's stealing. Why? Because you are makpid on other people. Says the look at the Oneg Yontiv in source number 3. Lechol perish of avero, lo be'inon sheyedu b'ilim mamish. The other person, for me to consume something that belongs to somebody else, I don't need his das. Delo ich paslam b'yediyah, so I don't really need that he knows that I'm taking it. Rak the be'inon shelo yakpid. I only need that he doesn't mind, that he doesn't care. Lo ich patlo. The Iker Gezel, I underlined it, be paid to tell your Rachmana. Meaning, if I want to be make a kinyan with you, you have to have the das to be makna to me. But if I just want to use something from yours, you don't have to give your das, you just have to not care. Oh, with that in mind, he explains a very common... Let me give you a good example. A katan. A katan does not have the halakhic capacity to be makna something. If a katan has a box of Pringles, could you ask him for a Pringle? He has a bag of Wise potato chips. Could you ask a katan? He owns it. So however he owns it, how logically he owns his bag of potato chips. Could you ask an 11-year-old for some potato chips from his big bag of potato chips? Of course you can. Oh, but a katan can't be makne something to you. So how could he give it to you? The answer is that you're eating the Pringles is not because he was makne to you. It's that since he's not makpid, there's no gezel. What do you see from this? You see that you don't need a das makne. You don't need a makne to eat somebody else's potato chips. You just need that he doesn't care. Loch patlo. No, I'm not talking about, I'm saying where the kid owns the potato chips. However that is, that you could have it.
There was previous knowledge that it's permissible to take, and that's why it's having effect.
No, he doesn't have the ability to be makna to you, but still, you could use it. Now, therefore, with that in mind, he explains the following. He says, look at the third paragraph, source number 3. Ubiyesh David, when somebody's miyayish, he loses his pen and he doesn't really know. When I find that pen, Iyav Shalomesh is Zachar, but when I find that pen, why do I want to take that pen? Because you think that right now he's makne to me? No. Later on, he has no choice but to give up, but that's not enough for right now. Right now, look at the underline. The owner who lost the item doesn't know when. You know, when he does find out about it, he doesn't know where it is. If the guy lost the pen and he knew that you found it, then the loser of the pen wouldn't be miyayish. He'd say, "Oh, let me go to Rabbi Orlian found my pen when I left his classroom. Let me get it back from him." Elamai, he doesn't know who found it, and therefore, what do you have? You don't have a real ratzon for him to give it to you right now. You don't have that allowing him to take it from you. Okay, again, you never need his das right now, but at least you need that he shouldn't be makpid. So when it comes to you, somebody goes to the bathroom, I want to use his pen. Is there das? No, there's no das. But he doesn't know that I want to use that I'm using his pen. But is he makpid on that ink in his pen? He's not makpid on that ink in his pen. And therefore, if I know that the owner is not going to be makpid, I'm allowed to use it. That's the explanation of the shach's. That's the shach's opinion. Now, let's see a line from the Rishonim. And we're going to do something very, very, very cool. The Ran, I told you that we started off saying that Tosas says you're not allowed to use somebody's pen when they're in the bathroom. The shach says if you know he let, you are allowed to because he's not makpid. Look at the Ran, in source number 4. Quotes the Rashba, and he says, Shari, you're allowed to take things that belong to somebody else. Look at why. Lefisha umdan hadas hu, they're talking about taking some fruits from a field, where you know the guy who owns the field will let people pick a fruit as they walk by.
Blue ribbon,
right, the guy takes the grape. The owner knows, everybody does it. Lefisha umdan hadas hu, it's assumed she'ein bal ha'pardes makpid v'kach v'kach nahagu. This is what they do. You know what it's like? It's like the halacha that if a mashulach knocks on the door, who owns all of your wealth? Gentlemen, you are all males in this room. If you are married, who owns all of the wealth in your house? Halachically, according to black, according to halacha, you officially own all the money. You're not home. And Mashiach knocks on your door. He asks for whatever cause he's asking for. What does your wife do? She takes $5 and she hands it to the guy. Oh, she's stealing. Better yet, he's stealing. Why? Because it's your money and she's taking it. Didn't we just say that? Oh, you can't take somebody else's things without them. No. Says the, now we all know that that's mutter. Says the Rashba, since it's obvious that that's mutter, says the Rashba, it's not gubakach. That's not gubakach. That's how the world works. And therefore, the owner of I'm the husband. Since that's how the world works, my wife has the right, and the mashulach has the right to take money from my wife because not gubakach. Oh, now Rabosai, could we think possibly of a nafkamina or two between the Shach's Kula, as explained by the Onig Yontif, and this new opinion of the Ran? The Shach said that I know this guy is not makpid, and therefore the Shach says I'm allowed to use it. The Ran that we're just doing now in Source 4 says, you know why you're allowed to take grapes? Not because I know that the owner of Blue Ribbon on Avenue J in Flatbush is not mafu, but because no gubikach. What's the difference? Either way, both opinions are saying I'm allowed to take that, I'm allowed to steal that little bit, that tiny amount, because they doesn't care. Oh, look what I wrote in. Two paths of nafkamina is between the heter of the Ran and the heter of the Shach to eat little, to steal tiny amounts. Let's say it's not Nahagu. Let's say it's not Nahagu. But I know that this owner won't be makpid. It's not Nahagu to take chocolate chip cookies from people's kitchens. It happens to be that Mrs. Rubin, my next door neighbor, her policy is that all the neighborhood kids could walk into her house and take her chocolate chip cookies. Everybody knows that. But it's not the Minhag HaOlam, that's not a normal thing to do. It happens to be a wonderful neighbor like mine allows it. So according to the Shach, the whole svar is that if the person allows you, they're not makpid, you could do it. According to the Ran, you have to have nagu b'kach. It has to be nadas, which you don't have by chocolate chip cookies in somebody's kitchen. It would be aser. Another nafkamina. Let's say I thought that the guy who went to the bathroom, Rabbi Fine went to the bathroom, left his pen on the table, I used it. I thought Rabbi Fine is an easygoing guy. He's my teacher many years ago. I'm sure he let me use his pen. I come back. He comes back from the bathroom. And he sees me using his pen, he says, do you know that that pen is a special, edition Mont Blanc? It costs $74 to get a refill for this pen. I only use it when I take notes for Divrei Torah. I can't believe you wrote down to write down a shopping list from your wife. So now, did I steal or not?
Yes, it was makpid.
Oh, according to the Shach, the svar was, I thought he'd be makpid. Oh, but he is makpid, so it's stealing. But according to the Ran, said that what is it toluyon? It's toluyon. What's the custom? The custom is that people allow, people in, who know each other allow others to use their pen when they're in the bathroom, in the same shir. So thank you. It should be mutter. I don't have to return anything. I don't have to. I didn't steal anything. I don't have to be paying for it.
Should there be a third nafkamina if I don't know the guy from Adam? I don't know the guy at all. So according to the Shach, I'm not allowed to use it. But according to
correct, 100%. Yes. Now, we have here the Shach and the Ran who are both saying that it's mutter for, each one saying his own twist why it's mutter, either because there's an umdana that it's mutter, or because I know this person specifically is not makpid. But on the other side of the coin, we started off with Tosas who says, you can't use somebody's pen if you don't ask him. You can't take a grape if you don't ask the store owner. How do we pask him? Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch HaRav to see how we pask him. Let's go through it together in sun on the bottom. Source number 5, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Baal HaTanya, Hilchas Avedu Umetzia. Afilu Barlo Shek Shiodel Lebailav Shu Notla. Let's say there's something that when the guy finds out that I used it, that I took it from him, Yismechu, he will be overjoyed. He loves me so much, he'll be so happy that I took a chocolate chip cookie from his house. So it's a mutter. Asur lo lehonos ba b'lo da'az bailim. I'm not allowed to take that cookie. Even if I know that person would be so happy I took the cookies. Lefikach, therefore, hanechnas lepardes aleginas chavero, osur lo lilkot perus shalom yidas habaylim. Look at the top line. Afal pi, shebal hapardes ve'aginahu ohavo, ve'reo asher kenavsho, ubevada yismach v'yogil kishe yivada lo, shenena ezemi perosav. Right, you're visiting your aunt in Muncie, right? In Muncie they have trees? You're visiting your aunt in Muncie, and she has an apple tree. And as you knock on her door, while you're walking to knock on her door, you say, oh, apples are ripe, I'm going to take an apple off the apple tree, she's my aunt, she loves me. And she'll be so happy that I'm taking an apple. Yeah. It's aser. Kevan she'achshav einu yodea mizeh, harei nene be'iser. It's aser for me to take that apple. So, is he paskening that it's mutter, that it's aser? He's paskening that it's aser. Let's continue a little bit. Sifei. Umikom makom mutter leven beso shal adam litein prusa la'ani. But it is permitted for somebody in the house give tzedakah to the shmishalach at the door, etc. Shalom yidai to the fiwai. Second line where Chai underline shekach nagu bali batim. Because bali batim, that's how, you know, everybody, that's the minhag that people, that we allow people to, you know, take tzedakah from our property. When I brought the $5 bills into the house, in what das did I bring $5 bills into my house? I brought them in mitchila. This is what everybody does. Everybody knows that people knock on the door, ask for money. You give them a $5 bill or a $10 bill or $1 bill, whatever it is. So therefore, when the owner of the house brought that money into the house, from the bank, it's brought into the house al das. That when a guy knocks on the door, the whoever's home, my son, my daughter, my wife, could give him those $5. Veins the second underlined line. Veins the nikkur shlomi das abaylam klal kev shekach nagu v'habalim yodim mizeh haminhag. Fabulous three words of the Baal HaTanya. The Baalim don't know. They know. What do they know? They didn't know that you're taking the $5 from them to give to the mishulach. They know what? They know that the minhag is that when somebody knocks on the door, whoever is home gives them $5.
So who is it going on the other way? That if you ask, if your Aunt Millie up in the Muncie understands that she's very happy to give the apple or the tree to her relatives who come visit, hence it would be mutter just as
no, common. No. If I take from my Aunt Millie in Muncie, it will be usher. But look at the set. Look at the last. Look at the hey, just two, a few lines down. In my, I put it in parentheses. V'chein b'pardes im huragu bolachom mipiros samidas bailim mutter. If I've been to her house before in Muncie and I know she always let me eat the apples, then it's okay. But if I never took an apple before, there's no history of me taking apples from Aunt Millie in Muncie. I just know that she loves me dearly and she always likes showering me with gifts. That does not give me permission to take that apple off the tree when I visit her house.
Could it be not me? Whether she makes an assumption whether it's apples on the tree? Because cookies is no different than the $5 the Baal HaBos brings on any time of year. She makes cookies now with all the kids in the neighborhood. Sometimes
if that's, again, yeah, you have to be careful.
Yeah,
okay.
That's what he said. If it's a policy, then it's a
Good. I think my Friedman is formulating very well. Assumption, good. Very, very good. Excellent. Fabulous. Fabulous formulation, right, Friedman. If it's a policy, an articulated policy, this lady's policy is that the kids could take the chocolate chip cookies. It's happened before, and we know she left. That's okay. But the fact that I know that so-and-so loves me and would be happy if I take her cookies... You know, let's say you're visiting grandma in far away, in, you know, Australia. When was the last time you took the kids to Australia? 7 years ago? I walk in. She loves her grandchildren dearly. But she hasn't seen them in 7 years. They don't know that the policy is you're allowed to take chocolate chip cookies. Those grandchildren cannot take chocolate chip cookies when they go to grandmother's house. What do you mean? Grandma will be overjoyed. Yogil v'yismach. That grandchildren will eat chocolate chip cookies. But that will be usher. That will be stealing. Unless the grandmother says you could take the chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, she invited them to the house.
Incredible, right? That's what's coming out. Fine. That was the first half of the shir, Rabbi Osai. That was the first half of the shir. Everything we talked about until now was when we're talking about actually stealing something, be it the ink in the pen, the apple on the tree, the cookie, or the grape at the fruit store, or the cherry at the fruit store. Now we're going to talk about a new topic. The new topic we're going to talk about is not stealing something that the Baalim isn't makpid on, but just borrowing it. Just borrowing it. The case of borrowing is a fascinating and very colorful case in Shas and Bava Kama, I think, Daf Yud. And the case in Bava Kama is the following. Is there anybody here who has a bench on their front porch? Or back porch? Or front yard? Okay. So what would happen if a couple is walking by on a shidduch date and they need a place to sit? The only problem is that the reason why they're going out with each other is the shadchan figured she's 350 pounds and he's 400 pounds. It's a perfect match. And they come, they need a nice place to sit, and they see your bench, and the 750-pound duo sit down on your bench, and guess what happens to your bench? It collapses. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara story. Let's see the Rosh on that Gemara. The Gemara says that when such people sat down on the bench and it broke, Yechayev says the Gemara in Bava Kama Perek Aleph Siman Yud, source number 7, Pirshash Bamzal, Didavka Adam of Vishamein Vekaved. Only if it's somebody very heavy could go to Rav Papa Bar Abba. Now we all know that Rav Papa Bar Abba was a Balbasser, right?
Rashi says Balbasser.
Fine. So if he would sit on the bench, Chayvim Nishbar Hasasal Tachtav. That's not the important part. The important part is what we could be medayik from that first point. Aval Sha'ar Kol Adam Peturim. Wait a second. I walk onto somebody's bench, I sit down on it, I break it. I'm Pater? Why? Did I have permission to sit there on your bench? No. So I should be at best a Shol Shalom Midas. Shol Shalom Midas should be a Gazlan, and Gazlan I should be Chayv even if it broke in the course of action, otherwise known as Mesa Machmas Malacha. Sitting on a bench is Mesa Machmas Malacha, but if I'm a Gazlan, I have no right to sit there, I should be Chayv. Why does the Gemara say that only a heavy guy like Rav Papa Bar Abba would be Chayv? Oh, says the Rosh, look here, Aval Shar Kolad and Peturim, underline line, Distam Safsal, if you have a bench, Rabosai, in your yard, it's for what purpose? So that people could pass by and sit on your bench. What? The guy who therefore comes into your front, onto your porch, and sits on your bench, what is he considered? A? Not a Shol Shalom Midas Gazlan, who? But since it's normal to allow people in, and you're not Machpid, you're a Shoel, not a Shol Shalom Midas, who's a Gazlan. And therefore you'll be Potter Kishamesa HaBehema Machmas Malacha. And so is Paskin Rabosai, in source number 8 in the Shulchan Aruch. Look at the Ramah, he passes the same Halacha. The Stam Safsal, and he adds, the Ramah adds the word, She'ula L'Stam B'nei Adam. Rabosai, you know what we have here? We have here an incredible paradigm. What do you have here? You have a case that whenever you have an item that in general is for people to use, something that's designated for the general people to use, you're not makpid on it. Ein adam makpid al kach. Then somebody who uses it, even if they break it, they're potter. I have a swing set in my backyard. Let's rephrase that. Dr. Rubin has a trampoline in his backyard. Guess who uses it? I'll give you a hint. His kids are already, how old is your youngest? She's already 11th grade. She's not jumping on the trampoline. Guess who does jump on the trampoline? My kids. Guess what happened when my kids jump on it? They broke it. Right, that little tear on the side.
No, you didn't.
Okay.
Know.
They broke his trampoline. Oh, but it was normal usage. But it doesn't matter. We're Shol Shalom Midas. So we're at Gazlan. No, since a trampoline is made, again, maybe trampoline in your backyard is different because what are you doing in my backyard, okay? As opposed to a bench on the front of your house. But according to this, if it's a trampoline, it's shol for somebody adam, people could use it. Even if I broke it, since it's available for usage, I would be potter. That's the psak of the Rama.
Is it because it's used and not used at all?
Yes, that's the distinction between the first half of the shir and this point, that was the shift. Consuming something, using something up like a chalk chip cookie or like the ink in a pen is using something up, that's stealing, that's one sugya. We're now shifting to something more kal, which is a non-consumable item. I think they call it durable goods.
Conceptually, the two are the same, that if you're not locked on it and we are making that bones and them that you're not locked on it, then in both cases, if you are makpid on it, and you're making that
open,
that you are makpid on it, in both cases, it's going to be
it's a one-way street. If you're not makpid, if we're going to say that not being makpid allows you to eat somebody's cherry, then certainly it allows you to use his bench.
Right.
But it's not vice versa.
Right. But conceptually, they're both totally in the same concept of whether
in one direction.
You're makpid or not.
In one direction.
Tosa.
Right, Tosa says that stealing is us, so he might still allow this. Thank you.
Tosa wouldn't argue on that.
Unless it's policy.
Okay.
Correct.
Let's move on.
A swing set,
no. I think swing set is, Stam swing set is... I don't know. A swing set in front of the house, I assume, is shalom l'chol b'nei adam. If you have a swing set in front of your house, that's a bench in front of somebody's house, you assume people are going to sit there, and therefore, even if they break it, they're putter. Unless they're exceedingly heavy. Fine. Now, with that in mind, we can now get to the punchline. Mitzvah items. Let's look at this retva. And you'll see how he builds. Says Ritva in Bava Basra. You remember last week, don't worry if you weren't here last week, we had a machlokas where the shol shol midas is a shol or a gazlan. How do we paskin? Let's see the Ritva. Came to Kamlan Krabbanim. The shol shol midas gazlan have. Hayinira, it appears, she'asr la'adam l'haniach tefillin olizate petalisa shol chaver shol midaito. A talis or a tefillin is not a bench in front of your house. A bench in front of your house, mistama, people you're allowing people to sit in. My tefillin and my talis is not the case. Therefore, you touch my talis, you touch my tefillin, you're a shol shlomi das, you're a gazlan. That's what we would assume. Aval mori natri rachmanu barche. That's the who is the Ritva's Rebbe?
Rashba.
Probably the Ramban. The Ritva and the Rashba were both contemporaneous, both talmidim of the Ramban. So I'm assuming, you might be right, but I would assume it's the Ramban. Aval mori, I assume it's the Ramban Omar, the Dvar Mitzvah Shaini. Ah, a new category, Dvar Mitzvah. What is the Svara? As we mentioned earlier, V'nichale le'inish, a person is very happy, till he avdu mitzvah b'mamone. We are very happy and interested for others to do mitzvahs with our possessions. Where do we see this concept? We don't have to go into it. It's the Gemara in Bechor, it's the Gemara in Pesachim. That we have precedent in Shas that a person is willing for other people to use his stuff. If you could get schar for somebody else using your stuff, you're happy that it happens. We don't have to go into that.
Limiting to the non-consumable items.
Correct. Non-consumable items. Correct. That's what we're going to focus on right here. That would be your point in mind. Non-consumable items. Things that will not get consumed by somebody else using. But then we're going to see a svara in it, right? You're not going to have like. Correct. We're not going to say that by a box of matzah on the first night of Pesach. Correct. We will say it for an esrog. We'll have to talk about an esrog. Esrog might be complicated. But we will say about a talis and tefillin. We will not say about a box of matzah on the first night of Pesach. Says the Nimuka Yosef. Says the Nimuka Yosef. Talis Shula, talking about you make a bracha on a Talis Shula. You really a Talis Shula is pater because Gzeres Hakasav. You only make a bracha on your, that only your own talis. Fine. But Malcolm now he tells us the story. Memukah Yosef and Hilchas Tzitzis. But Malcolm Shnagel Aniyach Talis Asim Beis Haknesses. Second line. So the minhag is everybody leaves their talis in their in their bench underneath their chair. So in Ba'adam Hisatei Palafisha, a person comes by Lefisha. What does the word Lefisha mean?
Temporarily,
occasionally, meaning if every day, if every Shabbos you leave your talis at home, you borrow whoever is there, right? You go to the place where the 7:30 people dive, and you get here, at 9:30, they're all gone. You use the same guy's talis every week. He has no idea, but what's the problem? He's getting schar every time, right? Now the diuk in the Nukei Yosef is lefisha. One more ula hachziru lemekomo. That's part of the tnai. Then mutter v'lo chasher sholosh lamidas gazan. Why? Kevan deleka hacha, what Rabbi Rabinowitz said, there's no chash of kilui karna, of consuming the item. Therefore, in such a scenario, nichle le'inish, a person is happy, delay avdu mitzvah b'mamone, that mitzvah is done with his property. Ma she'en kein b'sfarim. D'shema yavo likros bohen harbei. Because maybe you'll read a lot in the Sefer. Achi kara, until it will rip, mirov mishmush, from the abundance of handling it. Where is this based on? This is based on a Gemara Bava Metziach of Tesamud Beis, source number 16. There it says that tefillin, we're not so makbid about tefillin, but Sfarim we're very careful about.
What year was this written?
The Nimuka Yosef was a... medium early Rishon, let's say, I would guess, 1300s. I know what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that...
We're putting up in now. I don't want...
Before the printing press.
I'll use my words.
Right.
I don't want somebody...
Okay, what's the word? What's the word? What's the word that we use for books referring to books that were from before 1500? Printed books before... 1500.
Scrolls.
No, another word?
Manuscripts.
No, not manuscripts. Printed books before the year 1500. In Q?
Yeah, in Q.
Incunabula, right? Isn't that the word?
Yes.
No smart collectors here?
Yeah.
Incunabula?
Oh.
I think that's the word. Okay, fine, you look it up. So you're right. You're saying incunabula are very, you're saying there's even before incunabula, those are manuscripts. And there, maybe somebody would be makpid, but I think you might be wrong. You might be wrong. I don't know. Let's see. So, incunabula is before the printing press? Okay, we'll have to check. You'll Google it. You'll Google it afterwards. Okay, says the Gemara is funny. Let's say it says the Gemara, but Metzia, the third line. Hashol sefer Torah mechavero. Hereze lo yashilen ala acher. If you borrow a sefer Torah, you can't lend it to your friend. Asks the Gemara, my iri sefer Torah. How come? What do you mean? If you have borrowed a sefer Torah, you can't lend it to your friend? If you borrow a baseball bat, you can't lend it. If I borrow a baseball bat from you, could I lend it to somebody else? I feel kol mili nami. All other items also. Says the Gemara, ma the same. Of course, you can't lend anything to your friend if you borrowed it from somebody else. But by a sefer Torah, ma the same, you might have said, I might have thought that he's happy that his sefer Torah is making its rounds, getting more people learning Torah from it. Kamash malan. What is the Kamash Malan? Kamash Malan that you can't lend the Sefer Torah even though mitzvah is happening, mitzvahs are being performed with his Sefer Torah. Why not? Why can't you lend out his Sefer Torah? Mitzvah is being performed by it. Look at this incredible ritva. Look at the incredible ritva. No, he doesn't say it here. Look at the incredible ritva in source number 18. Says the ritva, it's incredible what he says. Why is it Kamash Malan? What does it mean? Why wouldn't a person want his Sefer Torah to be lent out to others if you could get Schar? Says the Ritva in source number 18, Kamash Malan, the Kemen Deika Kpeda, since there is concern, the owner is concerned, Lekilkel HaSefer, that it might get a little bit ruined, Lo Nichalei, he's not willing. Dehayatza Schara Behefsedo. Because the owner in his mind is thinking, what am I have to gain? I'm going to get more schar because Yenim is going to be using my sefer. More Torah is going to be lent from my sefer. But what's going to happen? Ki hayom ha-machar lo yelo sefer b'me'lilmod. But if he lends it to someone else and somebody else is going to use it, it's going to end up getting ripped. It's going to end up getting ruined. And what? I'm not going to have a sefer to learn from. And therefore, it will get used up. Exactly. It will get used up. It will get not there. They will get ruined. And therefore, I won't be able to learn from it anymore. Fascinating. Aval, continues the Ritva in the second half of Source and Radin, Aval b'midi d'leka shum chash kilkol. If you have something that can't get ruined, let's say like a pair of tefillin, let's say like a pair of, like a talis. Vada yachol lishol shalom idaz habaylim. I could lend it out. I could borrow without permission. I'm allowed to borrow them. As long as, of course, I return it to its place.
Not the winnings, because you might rip pages.
What?
It's not the winning out. It might rip pages. You said that before. Because tefillin also wear. And now, it was worn one time a day by me, now it's being worn a second time a day. It's just wore out.
That's not, I guess, considered. Right, I guess the concern if the safer is that it's going to get ripped, it's not going to not be returned, it's going to get ruined. Bent, ruined has to be more than, but yeah. Okay. Let's look at the one or two points in the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and then we'll finish off with Halach Lamaisa. Look at source number 20, please. This is again the Baal HaTanya. We have to finish up. This is the Baal HaTanya, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Says Baal HaTanya. He talks about if I borrow a sefer, could I lend it to somebody else? So, if I borrow a sefer, let's say, look at my table. Rabbi Rabinowitz has a sefer. He lends it to me. That means he doesn't want, he wants somebody to use them, and you're okay with it. You come to my, you could read his sefer, because you said I could read it, right? And I'm holding it in my house, that means I'm holding your sefer, and you allow me to use it. So what's the difference if it's me, or it's Dr. Reuven? You allow somebody to read it. That's fine. So that's going to be mutter. Source number 20 now. Says the Shulchan Aruch Rav. B'medvar mamurim, when could I invite people to my house to use somebody else's sefer, Dr. Rabinowitz's sefer? Kisha hashoel, no sein reshus lezel ulmabo. Kikol meshuk, yimei she'elosa, sefer koni lelumabo v'rasha litein zuhusu la'acher. Let's say I borrowed it from Dr. Rabinowitz for a week. So during that week, I own it. I could let you come to my house and read it. Aval, but also lelech lebeis chaver likros shami sifro afil ba'akray shlomi daito. But if somebody walks into you, if you want to read a sefer in somebody's house, you can't just walk into somebody's house, even once in a blue moon, just to read his sefer. Whether that person is holding it from somebody else or it's his. And certainly, if certainly nobody could walk into your house and use anything in your house. Unless you know specifically that he's given you permission before. Or, as we saw earlier with the bench, because a bench, nothing can ever happen to a bench. Now look at this, last underlined lines in source number 20. Aval davar, shemiktas b'nei adam akpidin alav, v'pnei chshash kilkul. Some people who are a little OCD are makpid about certain items. If that's the case, aval pi sheruban ein makpidin, v'pnei chshash rachok, chshash rachok, ein hochem b'zeh achar harov. What's an example that's not as simple as a bench or a swing set? It's saying that most people would allow, but there might be some very mefunah, very, you know.
Walking on my dress.
My dress. So that's walking on your. I don't want to know. That's not using something. I want to say you're using something. Shawl, cock and exhaust. What? Okay. Fine. So, right? Usually there's nothing wrong with the hat. Some people, they're nervous about oily foreheads. They're nervous about a piece of dandruff or basnishvah. They're worried about, they like their brim in a certain way. Most people, they have a hat and they couldn't care less if somebody else uses it. So, as long as there's some people who are makpid, you can't follow the rov. I mean, this happens. Let me give you in yeshiva, when I was in the mirror, right? I was in the mirror. Let's say for whatever reason I left my hat in my dira, and you the davening mincha. I want a davening mincha now. There, you go down to the hat room, the coat room. So okay, 800 of the hats are gone because people are davening. There's still 200 hats that are there for the guys who went for the first shift for lunch or whatever else. Can I just grab the hat from mincha? Let's say it's considered a tzarich mitzvah. Let's say we consider using his hat, that's considered tzarech mitzvah, because everybody in the yeshiva wears a hat, that's understood. That wearing a hat is a tzarech mitzvah. Let's say it's ma'aj like a tefillin, let's say. But if there's 10% of the people who are makpid about, you know, forehead oil, it's going to be awesome. Wow. Well, the Shulchan Aruch Rav is not talking about a mitzvah purpose, actually. He's talking about stam things. If it's a mitzvah, I'm not sure. He's talking about things like park benches. Okay, let's finish off with a fascinating line application of the Shulchan Aruch. We know that you could use somebody's talus, but the Shulchan Aruch is going to get into the details. Mutalito says the Shulchan Aruch Hilchot Tzitzis Siman Yudalid. Right? You realize that we're spanning Choshen. Until now we've been talking about Choshen Mishpat, and now we're entering the world of Aruch Chaim. Hilchot Tzitzis Mutalito Talas Chaveru Levarich Aleha. You could even say a brach on it. Uvilvad Sheikapalasa. You must fold it. If you borrow a talus, you must fold that talus. And of course, Davka Bakrai of Abakviyas. So as we pointed out, that you can only do this once in a blue moon. Now look what he says. Vafil Bakrai says the Mishnah Berurah. This italics says Mishnah Berurah. Davka Ba'osa Makom. You can only use it at that place of Allah Hotzio take it out. Efsher the makpid alav havi gazel. That's going to be aser. That means, gentlemen, if somebody leaves his talis upstairs in the bench where the 9 o'clock minyan davens, and you know he's in Florida for 2 weeks, could you take it downstairs to the 8:30 minyan?
Same building.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'd be machmir here.
Nope.
You're talking about a shayla of gzeila, safik gezel. I'd be machmir. I would not say you could take it downstairs. I'm not sure. Now, what happens if the guy is at the 8:30 minyan and I'm upstairs and his weekday talis is upstairs? Because I just put on his weekday talis upstairs when he's downstairs? Says the Prima Gadol, I am a Prima Gadol. The royal Zar, Kishabai Lavima, when the owner is around, Shishalenu, ask him. And in such a case where the owner is present, aim some chanal hachazaka. B'makom sheichon levaro bekal. If you could go downstairs and say, you know what, I notice your weekday talis is upstairs. Do you mind if I use it? If you could clarify, you have no right to use it without first clarifying. One more, Mr. Brewer, this is the geshmaka part. You have to, right, we said you have to be fold the talis. Says Mishbura, how do you fold it?
Same way he never did.
Kikipula harishon. You have to fold it the way Yanim folds it. You have to fold it the same way the owner folds it. Not only that, what about Shabbos? Oh my gosh, Shabbos. I took a talis, but it's Shabbos. I don't like folding my talis on Shabbos. Shabbos yikaplosa. And here you have a fascinating integration of Hilchas Choshev Mishpat with Hilchas Orachayim. Hilchas Gzelish says you have to fold it properly. Hilchas Shabbos says you shouldn't fold it properly. What do? Oh. B'shazi kapel k'savil lo k'kipul ha-rishon. Magen Avraham mekel b'shabbos lo l'kapel klal. Magen Avraham has a kula cited by the Mishnah Berurah that if you borrow something on Shabbos, you don't have to fold it at all. Fascinating. Incredible.
So it's a chumrah because it's unlocking. You're a chumrah Shabbos?
It's not a chumrah. Folding clothes is me'ikra ha-din. The question is, are there certain kulas in certain situations? But you're right. Let's say there's a certain kind of folding. We're not learning that sugya. We talked about that sugya a year ago. Let's say there's a certain folding that's only a chumrah. So I could hear that you shouldn't be machmir on your Hilchas Shabbos at the expense of being melkel on Hilchas Choshev Mishpat when you might be like misusing somebody else's property. That's an important... Yeah, let's assume. Okay, concludes. We're going to conclude with the shir for tonight. V'huadim b'tfilin concludes the Ramah. Aser lilmal misvarim shel chaver below daito. When was the Ramah written? You were with the Muki Yosef? Well, this is the Ramah that was written in 1530 or so. That's no longer in Cunabula. This is after the printing press, Rabbi Osei. Again, obviously things were much, 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 much more expensive than nowadays. But it's still after the printing press. And the Ramah says it's aser yus svarim shel chaver below daito. Techayshin shami yikara osam b'limudam. You might rip them. While you're learning, says the Mishnah Berurah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah is written when? In the 1920s, 1918, fine. Ba'olam Noagin, says the Mishnah Berurah. Kishamot and Siddur Tfila o Machzer Beis HaKnesset, Shalok Nosar Kedele Hispalobo. The minute is that you borrow people's Siddur Machzer. Ve'eni Yodea Hetel is that. Says the Mishnah Berurah, I don't know why. I have no idea how people do that. The Maishna Siddur Misvarim concludes the Mishnah Berurah. You can't use people's Svarim, and you can't use people's Siddurim, and you can't use people's Machzarim. That's how he seems to pass him.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.